When you think of ball gowns and designer shoes, if you think of those things, you might not think of Wisconsin first. High fashion is for places like New York or Paris, right?
Well, maybe not so fast. Fashion in the Badger State aren't exactly strangers. From first ladies in jumpsuits to nightclub singers and couture, women throughout Wisconsin history have embraced fashion and sometimes pushed its boundaries.
The Wisconsin Historical Museum is telling the stories of these women in its Wisconsin Women of Style exhibit. It runs through Saturday, March 29th.
Central Time producer Galen Druk sat down with curator Leslie Belay to learn about these women.
Wisconsin is known for a lot of great things. Fashion isn't one of them. Does Wisconsin have something to prove when it comes to fashion?
I don't know if they have something to prove. They definitely are not considered fashion forward. Wisconsinites are not considered fashion forward.
So what is your exhibit trying to say about fashion?
Well, our exhibit looks at women who did kind of break the mold and did dress in the fashion of the moment. And the time they were living. They had the money, they had the wherewithal and the knowledge and the desire to dress that way. But that they don't necessarily represent typical Wisconsin fashion.
Is there a particular style to Wisconsin fashion?
Well, I mean, people can argue with me on this, but I would say that for the most part, it's casual and understated. I think because of the weather, we tend to have sort of a Midwestern practicality to our dressing, and we tend to dress down. So if we go to New York City, for example, we kind of look out of place.
And so these women that you feature in your exhibit, some of them went to Paris, New York, places in Italy to find their clothes. I mean, did they still stick to a more modest style even when they went to, you know, designers abroad and things like that?
I think the best example of that is we have a Charles Frederick Worth gown. Worth was the first major designer in Western history where you knew his name and you wanted a Worth gown. We have one Worth gown. It's worn by it was worn by Mrs. Frances Fairchild. She was the wife of Governor Lucius Fairchild, who was a diplomat at the time. And so she gets a Worth gown. But when I look at it, I would say, as a Worth gown, it's very simple. It's very understated. It's plain, if you can have a plain Worth gown. So that when I started studying that gown in particular, it just struck me how unworth-like it was and that she must have put her personality into it.
Are there ever any French or German or Native American influences in some of the fashion in Wisconsin?
I haven't seen a whole lot of that. What generally happened with fashion in general in Wisconsin, starting, you know, in the 19th century, is when immigrants came to the United States, they wanted to assimilate very quickly. And the best way to assimilate and say, I'm an American, as opposed to a French or a German, is to dress American. Also, there wouldn't be any strong desire to dress in Native Americans. Native Americans were viewed as a lesser for most of our history. And so why would you pick up those details? But I haven't seen it in any of our collections.
All right. So I'm going to put you on the set of Fashion Police for a minute.
Okay.
Who is Wisconsin's most fashionable lady?
Well, I have thought about that a little bit. And even though she's not born and raised in Wisconsin, she has a strong Wisconsin connection, and that would be Lynn Fontanne. Lynn Fontanne was an actress on Broadway, starting in the 20s up through like the 60s or 70s. And she and her Milwaukee-born husband, Alfred Lunt, she was British, built a home in Genesee Depot, Ten Chimneys, which is now open to the public. And so she lived here when she wasn't on stage. She lived in Wisconsin. She brought the concept of dressing in designer clothing to the Broadway stage. So she is probably one of the leading style setters of her time period. And in fact, Molnir, who is one of the designers from the 40s, described her as one of the best dressed women in the world. So I'm claiming her for Wisconsin, and I'm claiming her as probably the most stylish Wisconsinite.
So one of the women who really stood out to me at the exhibit when I went was Hildegard. Who was she?
Hildegard was a singer. She was a cabaret singer. She was born in New Holstein, Wisconsin, went to school in Marquette. She always considered herself a Milwaukee girl. That's kind of how she described herself, even as she became famous. In 1933, she decided she wanted to break into the big time, so she went to Paris with her manager. They went to nightclubs, and nightclubs loved her singing. She's got this beautiful cabaret voice, and but didn't like her clothes. And I think what the problem was is they were too Midwestern, practical, down-to-earth, you know, understated, and they wanted some va-va-voom. So she got the nightclub owners gave her invitations to be shown to designers in Paris. You had to have an invitation to go to a designer. You can't just walk in and say, I want some clothes. So she got her first designer clothes from there, and we have one of those on display from 1933-34, when the first year she went over. And what she said later in life was that Miss Piggy stole her style. So if you can think of Miss Piggy with the long gloves and the evening gowns, that's what Hildegard did.
So the two women that you've talked about so far are both performers. Was high fashion something reserved for people who were in the public eye in that way, or was high fashion something embraced by other Wisconsinites?
Those are the two performers we focus on, but the rest of the crowd that we focus on are women of – there would be like the one percenters of the early 20th century. These are women who are extraordinarily rich. They've married into money. They've been born into money, and they have the means, as I've said, and also the strong interest in showing that they can dress this way.
So one of those women that particularly stood out to me was Dorothy Knowles.
Dorothy Knowles is an interesting woman. She was the Governor Warren P. Knowles' wife. He was governor starting in 64. She wasn't born or raised Wisconsin again. She was born in Texas and lived in New York City when he was governor. She was an interior designer of New York City. And she kind of broke with Wisconsin fashion. She was sort of a I refuse to become one of these dressed down, understated, casual types. And she complained that Madison women especially were too enamored of their pearls and plaid skirts.
What does that mean?
It means that they're boring. Boring and conservative in their dress, not necessarily in their politics. But
and so how did she compare herself to them, or what did she do in response?
Well, the thing that she's most famous for and what we have on display, which is really exciting, is when her husband was reelected in 66, she went to the 67 inaugural ball in a jumpsuit. It's a yellow fabric, polyester fabric, and then she wore a long, it looks like a coat. Actually, a lot of people have told me it looks like a negligee. It's lace, and then it has gold and pearl flowers on it. But the newspapers, at least, went crazy that the first lady was wearing pants to a ball and was breaking with fashion. She also brought the designer, Ron Amy, who designed the outfit, to the ball with her, and she brought her hairdresser with her to the ball.
Set the scene for me in that situation. How common was it in general for women to wear pants, particularly in a more formal setting like that?
It was unheard of. It was unheard of.
And is that around the country or in Wisconsin, or was this she was making a statement that could be understood nationally?
I think it could be understood nationally. Women weren't wearing pants then. Ron Amy, who's the designer, was a young man who was trying to break fashion molds, and he was the one who suggested that jumpsuits might be appropriate for ball gowns. These legs on these pants are very wide. You can barely tell it's pants until she started moving. But she was enamored of the idea, and I think it was because she wanted to blow the minds of her Wisconsin compatriots.
In this situation, it seems like fashion can be pretty political.
That's true.
How do we use fashion to say things that we might not say with words?
It's more common when the rules are strict. And I would say nowadays the rules aren't as strict. I mean, if you go back to the 18th century, which I know, this is what I can think of off the top of my head. In the French Revolution, up to that point, men always wore breeches or knee-length pants. To show that they were part of the proletariat, they began wearing pants, you know, that went down to your ankle. So they're making a political statement saying that I'm no longer part of the aristocracy or the nobles who wear breeches. I'm part of the working class who wears pants.
I'm glad you brought up men. Actually, the exhibit is about women, but do men play a role in Wisconsin's fashion scene, or is it the women who lead the way?
When you think of men in Wisconsin fashion, you tend to think of plaid shirts.
Yeah.
And, you know, hunting attire. The way that men have played a role is that historically is that they've provided the money. It's sort of a concept that is called vicarious consumption, where the man makes the money. He dresses understated. He dresses in black and white and looks conservative. And then he shows off his wealth on his wife and his daughters. And so they are dressing in the money. The other thing is, these aren't Wisconsin men, but a lot of these clothes were designed by men.
I saw, actually, speaking of male designers, a collection of Ferragamo shoes. Now, it would probably be hard to find those shoes even in Wisconsin today. Where did these women have to travel to get these clothes?
I would say most of them, if not all of them, I'd have to think about each piece, were not acquired in Wisconsin. There's a piece coming up in the next show that was sold in Wisconsin, so we know that it could be acquired here. But most of these women, especially the 19th century women, are traveling to Europe, mainly Paris. We have a few going to Germany, Italy, those kind of places. In more recent times, in the 20th century, they're probably going to Chicago and New York City to get their clothes. It's hard to dress at that level of style that we are showing and purchase those clothes in Wisconsin.
Today, you can be considered a stylish person without traveling to a foreign country or another city to find your clothes and spending an arm and a leg. How have things changed?
The main thing that's changed, and it starts in the 1960s, really, maybe the 50s. But up to that point, fashion is very much from the top down. And so the elite are, in attempt to kind of get away from the middle class, keep making their clothing more impossible to wear. And more outrageous. And then in the 1960s, we start seeing the shift to dressing from the bottom up. So you're dressing, you're seeing people on the street, designers are seeing people on the street, and then recreating that for a higher income. So it's going from the bottom up. So it's a really different mindset. And starting in our lifetime, in the 1990s, the concept of a really hardcore fashion where you think, you know, 1980s, you can think of the big shoulders, you think of the bright colors, kind of funky clothing. In the 1990s, we start losing that kind of concept of fashion, that being kind of hardwired and everyone kind of looks the same.
Where do you think we stand today in terms of fashion in Wisconsin?
In Wisconsin, well, you know, I would say we're pretty much the same way we were 100 years ago, that we tend to have a Midwestern practicality. A lot of that's due to the weather. We tend to dress down. We tend to be casual and understated. We're, I think, in general, less experimental with our clothes than other places that are more cosmopolitan. And I don't think that's really changed that much. It's just the actual pieces of clothing have changed.
That was Central Time producer Galen Druk speaking with the Wisconsin Historical Museum curator Leslie Belay. Their Wisconsin Women of Style exhibit runs through Saturday, March 29th. It's in cooperation with the Mount Mary University Historical Costume Collection. And by the way, we've got some pictures of the clothes they were talking about. You can find them at our Central Time Facebook page. Worth a look.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll take a look at the year-long investigation into the dark side of national fraternities.
We'll also get advice on taking feedback, even when we're not looking for it, even when it's something we may not want to hear. We'll learn how to take it gracefully and hopefully make ourselves a little better as a result.
And Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke will release her first television ad tomorrow. We'll find out what she has to say and take a look at how we think about political ads.
And Noah Ovshinsky joins us with a roundup of the state's top news. That's coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.